It's Champlain Valley Game Night on 101.3 ESPN. Presented by the Windjammer Restaurant and Upper Deck Pub. Local, fresh, and Burlington's original steak and seafood restaurant. Now, here's your host, Brady Farkas.
What's up, everybody? Brady Farkas, Champlain Valley Game Night right here on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3ESPN.com. And we are always on that 101.3 ESPN app, which you can download for free in the Google Play Store or in the Apple iTunes Store. So we look forward to however you're listening to us, whether you're listening to us on the online stream, on the air, in your car, on the app, or you're using that Amazon Echo, that Alexa, that Echo Dot. Just ask her, enable 101.3 ESPN, and then we will come on. So we appreciate all your support and how you come on. You can come out and see us tonight over at the Burger Bar in Colchester, 7:30 to 9:30. Four rounds, eight questions apiece. It's a blast. Great food, half-price appetizers. You throw in the drink specials, $2.50 for the Coors Lights, $2.50 for Miller Lights, $3 for Blue Moons. It's a beautiful night, so come on out and spend it with us. 84 degrees, it tells me right now on our screen in front of me. 84 degrees, beautiful night to be at the Burger Bar and watch Red Sox Yankees. Sox Yanks, the battle of the two best teams in baseball. It's the first time that they've met this late in the season with the best records in baseball since 2002. So it's a matchup with some history behind it, both recent and former. So lots of good stuff tonight. Drew Pomeranz, Luis Severino, and we'll have the coverage for you at 6:20. So listen to the pregame show, listen to the game on your way over to the Burger Bar, and then see us. Remember, today was day one of our Ultimate Fenway Fan Experience Contest, and here's what you get. Three times a day for 3 weeks, we're going to get you qualified to try to win those premium box seats. June 5th, Sox Tigers at Fenway. You're also going to get a hotel in Boston that night. You're going to get an exclusive tour of Fenway Park. You are also going to get a once-in-a-lifetime experience to be on the field, field level, as both teams take batting practice. You will be there. Look, impress a date, have a buddy go with you, father, son for Father's Day, whoever you want to go with. It would be a great opportunity. So I'm telling you right now, be listening tomorrow in the 6 o'clock hour to Golic and Wingo, and Rich will come on the air, and he will have that Red Sox player of the day, and that's going to be what you need to know when those cue to calls go off. So that player of the day gets announced tomorrow in the 6 o'clock hour for Golic and Wingo. So you early birds have an opportunity. We'll get you those lineups in a few minutes here. But first, something real quick. The Patriots are doing something that is, they're proving something that I have now thought for a few weeks. And this went unnoticed around the draft, because right after the draft, the Patriots made a bunch of moves, like all teams do, and signed a bunch of undrafted free agents. The Patriots signed a running back by the name of Ralph Webb from Vanderbilt. And Brady, who the heck is Ralph Webb? Why do I care about him? Ralph Webb is the reason that Mike Gillislee and or Jeremy Hill are not going to be on the Patriots. That is complete. I think both of them are not on the Patriots next year. Ralph Webb and Sony Michel are going to be on the Patriots, and Jeremy Hill and Mike Gillislee are not. And Ralph Webb is, again, a guy from Vanderbilt, undrafted free agent. They gave him $70,000 guaranteed. He was among the highest paid undrafted free agents. So Sony Michel's a lock. Rex Burkhead's a lock. James White's a lock. That's three. Then you throw in Burkhead, White, and, oh, I'm missing one now. Time for Tire Text Line, 802-655-6672. But there's three locks on this team already. I mean, Deion Lewis is gone, but so I just think this team's going to, I think that both of them are out. I think that Jeremy Hill doesn't make the team, Sony Michel does. I think Mike Gillislee's not going to make this team. Brandon Bolden is a lock to make it through special teams. But between Burkhead and White, you're just not going to have room for all these guys. And if you're going to go and give undrafted free agents time, I mean, Burkhead, White, Sony Michel, that's three. Ralph Webb, four. And then Brandon Bolden, that's five running backs. You're not taking seven, which is what it would need to take to keep Gillislee and to keep Hill. Now, Jeremy Hill, you know, I feel bad for him if he signs here and gets cut. I feel bad for that professionally because he had would have had other options in free agency and other places that he could have signed. But in Mike Gillisley, this is a guy who I was extremely high on last year, extremely excited about, and it's surprising to me that it hasn't worked because Mike Gillisley felt like such a home run opportunity for the Patriots last year. They signed him away from Buffalo, restricted free agent. They gave him, what, just $6 million over 2 years. Big bruising back. He was going to be good after contact. He was going to fit well with other running backs that they had. They were going to have short, shifty backs that could go outside and catch passes. And Gillisley was going to run in between the tackles. He was going to help salt away games in the fourth quarter, and he was going to help win games for them in bad weather. And none of that materialized. He had 3 touchdowns on opening night against Kansas City. And then we really didn't hear from him again all year, to the point where the back half of the season, he wasn't even dressing for games with regularity. He didn't dress for most games after about week 10. So when you look at next year's Patriots roster, they've already gotten a glutton of wide receivers. They can't have a glutton of running backs and have everybody at both positions make the team. I've said this for a while. I love the running back hybrid. I love the guy that is a specialized back because I think that's how you win. I don't think you win consistently relying on one back to carry the load. That was one reason why I was against Saquon Barkley being picked by the Giants, despite how good he is. So I love that the Patriots have different guys to do different things. But when you throw in Rex Burkhead and James White, they're locks. Sony Michel, the draft pick first round, he's a lock. Now Ralph Webb, undrafted free agent, who maybe you could turn into the next Deion Lewis, and you're giving him real money to, he might be a lock. And Brandon Bolden, one of your best special teamers, long as tenured players, he's a lock. That's 5. I don't know where Mike Gillisley, with the organization, is frustrated with. And Jeremy Hill, a guy who they have no ties to, I don't think either one of them make the team. Champlain Valley Game Night here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Sox and Yankees will give you those lineups about 5 minutes from now. And one thing that, despite the Red Sox number one status in Major League Baseball right now, despite the fact that they are 25-9 and in first place, so the best record of all of baseball, something that they need, that you need to watch out for as fans, is the regression at first base has to be coming soon. Last year, according to Fangraphs, the Red Sox were 25th in production at first base between Mitch Moreland and Hanley Ramirez. That same twosome is now second in production in all of Major League Baseball. Now, they may not be as bad as 25th last year, but they're not as good as second this year. So when you start talking about the Red Sox and what's coming for them in future months, we now don't know what's up with David Price's arm. That puts a real black cloud over the rotation. And then now we're going to see the offense regress a bit. And I believe that because, I mean, these guys are doing things they've never done in their career. Mitch Moreland has never hit lefties well in his career. And here he is, a left-handed player hitting, I mean, he's hitting .333 against them. Is he going to do that all year? Probably not. So you say, Brady, well, they got Hanley. Hanley will hit lefties. Hanley hit, let's see what that number is. Last year, Hanley hit .143 against lefties a year ago. He's hitting .444 right now. Is he going to do that also? No. So this first base platoon was a big issue for the Sox last season, and it's been a real blessing for them in the early part of the season, but I don't see any way that it's going to continue. Because when you throw in the fact that Moreland and Hanley are hitting far above what they did a year ago, It's hard to replicate that for 162 games. And it's okay if it regresses to a degree because you've already banked 25 wins, and that's great. But as the American League gets more top-heavy and you look at the Yankees and the Astros and the Angels and the Mariners and Cleveland to a degree, you're going to need to have banked a lot of wins to try to make the playoffs and then win a division, which is what the Red Sox have a goal of doing. I don't know that this first base, in fact, I'm confident this first base tandem cannot keep up what they have done all along to this point. It's just we're too much in the abnormality of everything. Hanley doesn't hit lefties this well. Mitch Moreland doesn't hit lefties this well. Hanley Ramirez is hitting more ground balls than ever at a time where people want to hit fly balls and do damage that way with doubles and homers. It just seems unsustainable that all of these balls that they're hitting are going to find holes. Guys go through cold spells. They've been both on real hot spells all season to this point. I just don't see it lasting. It's going to be a big story for me to watch for as we start heading deeper into May, we start heading into June. Are these guys going to start to regress back closer to what they were a year ago than what they are right now? Again, Champlain Valley Game Night right here, 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. We'll get you those Sox and Yankees lineups. So let's do that for you, and let's do it right now. Again, CVGN, getting you ready for Red Sox Yanks. -25-9 for the Sox, 24-10 for the Yanks. 6:20, the pregame show starts. Drew Pomeranz, 1-1 with a 6.14 ERA on the mound for the Bo Sox. Luis Severino, 5-1 with a 2.11. He's coming off his first career shutout. This game from Yankee Stadium. Lineups: Mookie Betts in right, Andrew Benintendi in left. Hanley Ramirez at first, the aforementioned, 297. J.D. Martinez hitting 349. He is the DH, 8 homers, 27 ribbies. Xander Bogaerts is at shortstop, hitting 333. Rafael Devers is at third. Eduardo Nunez at second, hitting just 229. Jackie Bradley Jr., 178. He's in center. And Christian Vasquez, the catcher, hitting 193. He catches and bats ninth. Lineup for the Yanks: Brett Gardner, he's in left, 203, a homer and 10 ribbies. Aaron Judge, 296. He is 8 homers, 23 RBIs into this season. Didi Gregorius, the shortstop, 311, 10 homers, 30 ribbies. Giancarlo Stanton, he's the DH, 227. Gary Sanchez, the catcher, 198, 9 homers, 28 RBIs. Aaron Hicks is in center at 240. Miguel Andujar, 274. Tyler Austin, he's at first base. And Gleyber Torres, the young phenom, hitting 327. He hits ninth and plays second. Again, the latest that these two teams have met with a 700 winning percentage or better since, actually, this is the second series. I'm trying to read my notes. This game is the first time in series history they'll meet this late in the year with each winning percentages of 700 or better. It's the first time they'll meet this late in the season since 2002, going 1-2 in the league in terms of record. So it should be a fun one at Yankee Stadium. One more text to get to on the Town Fair Tire text line. JT in Burlington on Mike Gillisley. He says he's not versatile enough, Brady. Defenses know they're pounding it. Easy to stack the box. And you are right on that, but it doesn't mean that when the idea of Mike Gillisley was first brought to the Patriots, it doesn't mean I wasn't excited. I was excited about the diversity of backs, the specialization of backs. I know that Deion Lewis can go in between the tackles. I know James White can do that too. I know they can both go outside. I know Rex Burkhead can do both. I know they're both hybrid backs. I know Gillisley's a bruiser, but for a guy who can pound it in on the goal line and pound it in on third and short, and a guy who can salt away games in the fourth quarter, that's what I was excited about. I mean, he was number one in yards after contact in the NFL when he was with Buffalo. Something happened in New England that made it not work out. I don't know what that was, though. Champlain Valley Game Night over. Burger Bar is coming up. Well, Burger Bar is coming up for us at 7:30. We'll see you over there for trivia, 7:30 to 9:30. Look forward to sharing it with everybody. Yankees and Red Sox are next, and we're back on the air tomorrow, everybody. It's 101.3 ESPN.